Live Creative Now, episode 43.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as an artist of any kind or not an artist, not creative, not artistic, or anything in between, the truth is that no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. In the last episode, episode 42, I shared a couple of interesting things that happened to me. The first thing was something really good that I didn't even realize until someone pointed it out to me. And the second thing started out as something pretty bad, but turned into something really good. And I'll give you a hint, it has everything to do with handling criticism. But that was last week's episode. Today, I want to share a realization I had recently that I have really been marveling over. Now, a little background, I share artworks in progress on social media and on my blog, and also you can get art in your inbox by subscribing to my ArtSpark newsletter. Just go to melissadinwiddie.com/ArtSpark. But back to the sharing on social media, the most efficient way to see a whole bunch of what I've been up to lately at my art table in one glance is to go to Instagram. My Instagram profile is instagram.com/a_creative_life. And if you head over there, you will notice on my page right now a distinct lack of color. I've been playing almost exclusively in black and white since the start of the year. I've been doodling for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes even longer, every morning sitting in bed. And I started doing this daily morning doodle practice as a form of self-defense, really. I needed a way to help ensure that I would get at least a little bit of creative sandbox playtime in every day. For a long time, I was getting my art making time in first thing after finishing up my morning ritual. I did an entire episode about my morning ritual, episode 10, and then I think it was episode 38, I did a redux on how my morning ritual had changed recently. Back in September, actually August 31st, I started a daily workout practice. And I'm thrilled that I'm actually working out like 5 or 6 days a week. I finally figured out how to make that happen. How I make that happen is by adding the daily workout to the stack of activities in my morning ritual. And that extended the whole routine so long, an extra hour, that once I'm done with my exercise and probably taking a shower because I get really sweaty, I'm really anxious to get to work because it feels like, oh my God, the day is half over. I got to get to work. So what was happening was that it was just all too easy for me to bypass my art table altogether and just head straight to the computer. And I don't know about you, but with me, once I've logged onto my computer, the day kind of just runs away from me. It's like the computer has this gravitational pull that throws everything else off its axis. And I was noticing that my creative sandbox time was getting lost in the shuffle. And I was really not happy about this. If I don't create consistently, I'm not happy. I feel cranky and I'm irritated. And I want my creative thing, even if it's not something that I'm, you know, doing for business or money or to show anybody, it needs to be part of my life on a regular basis. This is how we change our emotional state, how we change our mental state. It's world-changing just to create, and I needed to get that back. So something had to change. Now, I wasn't willing to give up my workout. That would be sort of the obvious thing, like cut an hour out of my morning routine by giving up my workout. But oh, I finally got this workout routine built in. And I know from lots of experience that if I don't do my workout early in the day, it's just way less likely to happen. That's true for most things, actually. But the workouts were pushing everything back by about an hour. And so it just wasn't working for me to try and squeeze creative play into my afternoon or evening after the workout. Because, you know, as I always say, the thing I do first is the thing that gets done. And it seemed pretty clear that I had to find a way to sort of officially integrate some creative sandbox time, some play time, some art making time into that stack of activities that make up my morning ritual. But the question was, how? Because for me, my morning ritual time, it takes place in my bedroom, and it's almost like an airlock chamber. It's kind of weird, but as long as I'm still inside my bedroom, it's as if the rest of the world hasn't started yet. My day hasn't really started yet. The work day hasn't started yet. Even if I've been writing in my journal work-related things, like working on blog posts or working on business planning, there's just this feeling that in this space, in my bedroom, the time that I spend in here in the morning is my time. It's sacred time. So what that means is when I leave my bedroom, even if I were to go straight to my art table, that it doesn't quite work because I've left the airlock chamber. So I decided to try an experiment. I decided to see if I could build in some kind of creative art-making practice that I could do before I left the bedroom in the morning. In fact, without even leaving my bed. Now, I do get up and go to the bathroom and brush my teeth and stuff, but I climb back into bed. And I was determined to do some kind of art-making sitting in bed. Now, of course, this limited my choice of medium, because I don't want to get paint and ink all over my sheets. But every creative knows that limitations are the wellspring of creativity, right? We can work with limitations. It forces us to be creative. And besides, I had been thinking for a while about getting on the coloring book bandwagon that everybody's on and creating my own coloring book. And it seems sort of a natural thing because a lot of the paintings that I made in 2015, I did an entire series of paintings. I made about 100, I think, that are really essentially coloring pages that I made on canvas or board that I started off with ink in white. Usually it was a white canvas board with the wet watercolor ground brushed over it. And I would let that dry. So that's basically just black lines on white background. And then I would go back in and color it with watercolor. So I was basically making my own coloring books that are not really books. They're canvases or whatever. But in any case, it's pretty natural to sort of take that general idea and just change the medium a bit. And I thought, you know, if I intentionally just stick with black and white for a while, let's just see what would happen. It's kind of an interesting creative challenge. So I grabbed a Pitt artist pen, and I have a link to an Amazon page where you can see what those are. It's an affiliate link, FYI. If you buy something, I'll get a little commission, 20 cents or something. Anyway, and I also grabbed my beloved Pigma Micron markers. I also have a link to that on the show notes. And I grabbed a sketchbook. And I decided to start this morning doodle practice. And a few things happened as a result. The first thing is, I'm developing this really lovely, consistent daily practice that connects me to my creativity first thing in the morning. I've never had a visual art morning practice this early, this first thing in the morning. I did for 1 year do a tiny and daily writing practice that I called 3x5x365. And I filled a 3x5 card to a one word prompt every day for a year. And I usually did that in the morning, but this is the first time I'd done a visual art practice. And it makes me really happy to just spend 15 or 20 minutes and sometimes longer just drawing, just doodling. It makes me so happy. So that's the first thing. I'm super happy about this consistent daily, tiny and daily practice. The second thing is that I've created a bunch of pieces of art that I really like. And a lot of them I think would work really well as coloring pages. So they may turn into a coloring book at some time. And in fact, if you are an insider and you're subscribed to my insider's newsletter, I just added a sample coloring page to my free member content library. And if you are not an insider, you can sign up to get it, the free coloring page, and there's a bunch of other goodies in there. Just go over to the show notes. There's a link in the show notes to sign up, or click on any of the links to get my free member content library. They're all over my website. And you'll get a whole bunch of other goodies as well. The third thing that has come out of this tiny and daily morning doodle practice, and this is the most important to me, is that this little practice has helped me see just how far I've come in my journey away from perfectionist paralysis and toward creative freedom. Something I've been working on for the past 6 years, very intentionally. And I'm kind of speechless because this is something I've just been marveling over so much. I've talked to my husband about it a number of times. It's like, I can't stop marveling about this. Just yesterday and today, as I'm recording this, as I was doing these little doodles, and there's a picture, a snapshot of one of the doodles in the show notes that you can see. I was so delighted with what I was creating that I literally laughed out loud as I was drawing, because my little doodle drawing amused me so much. It just delighted me so much, entertained me so much. I really feel not very articulate about this because I'm kind of astonished to be in this place. The doodle art that I'm creating right now, it's pure improvisation, and it is so much fun. It represents for me the amazing state of play and fun and delight and joy that my creative sandbox metaphor is all about. And I am just marveling that I am able to achieve this state in my art, because for most of my life, I was not there at all. Oh my God. I honestly think that the last time I experienced this level of freedom, of purely following my curiosity and not worrying about the outcome, just exploring purely. The last time I experienced this level of freedom, I think, was all the way back in nursery school. This is why I'm marveling about it so much. Because, you know, I have spent 6 years very, very intentionally working on clearing out perfectionism, clearing out the gremlins, learning how to tame them. They're never going to go away, but learning how to tame those gremlins, ninja gremlin whispering, I call it. And that time that I've been spending on that is paying off. It's paying off big time. And the funny thing is, it's not really funny. It's sort of, I don't know, I guess it's sort of obvious, but I still find it delightfully amusing, sort of, is that I'm making art purely for the joy of it. And it's not just paying off in joy. It's paying off in the responses that I'm getting from other people. I have been approached by people who are interested in using my intuitive art, these doodles that I'm creating, in a variety of different projects. I can't share any details yet because it's all up in the air and who knows what will happen. But the upshot is that I am making art purely to please and delight myself. Purely for myself. And other people are also responding to it. And that is like frosting on the cake. It's really cool. Just this last week, I was on a rally call with my Creative Sandbox community, and I was having a conversation with one of the members. Rally calls, we have a number of live community calls throughout the month, and there are two rally calls that are kind of like open office hours, and whoever wants to can log in to the video conference platform or dial in on a phone and have a conversation with me, ask questions, get coaching, whatever they want. And I was having this really rich conversation with one of the members and trying to express all of this to her. And I said something like, I don't care. It's so amazing to me that I don't care about the outcome, but I do. It's not that I don't care about the outcome. I do. I want to make things that please me. And she said, it's that you're not worried about the outcome anymore. And that is exactly right. I care. I want it to be something that pleases me. I want it to be something that other people like as well. But that is not the driver. I'm not worried about it anymore. And that is so liberating. And the reason that if you're hearing excitement in my voice, it's because this feels so miraculous to me when I think about how incredibly stuck in judgment I used to be. I used to be so driven by my gremlins. They were driving the bus and I was just a passenger. And so it's like, it's really miraculous to be in this place and I'm still processing what it means. But I wanted to share it with you because, if you just came to my website today, you would not know how profoundly stuck I was for so many years because that's not what you would see. You would see all this art and music and, you know, all kinds of things happening. Oh my gosh, even just 6 years ago, I was so not there. I was so profoundly stuck. Oh my gosh. And, you know, I have been working on intentionally leaning into uncertainty and leaning into fear and leaning into discomfort in order to, you know, rid myself of the brakes that the gremlins were putting on me. And I'm really pleased with and proud of the art that I've been making in the past 5 or 6 years, which has been so much freer than the art that I was making before. But where I am now is the highest level of freedom and joy and delight that I've gotten from art since I can remember. So essentially, I'm sort of, you know, a case study for you. Human beings are amazingly plastic. We are really quite elastic. So whatever might be holding you back now does not have to hold you back forever. I was sharing in my Creative Sandbox community just recently, somebody was feeling really, expressing frustration around, you know, she understands my Creative Sandbox manifesto rules and tries to apply them, but she just doesn't feel the sense of freedom that she wants. And if you are feeling that way, I want to assure you that that is normal, that it took me a long time to get to this feeling of utter delight in creating and not being in that judgy inner critic gremlin space. It was setting the intention, putting my attention on what I wanted, continuing to aim in that direction, and using my golden formula every step of the way. That is what got me to this week's little giggle fests as I was doing my morning drawing. My golden formula, which I say just about every episode, is self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. Self-awareness means noticing how you're feeling. If you're feeling frustrated, notice that. That is self-awareness. Notice what feels good to you. Notice what feels bad to you. Notice what is working for you. Notice what is not working for you. And then bring in the self-compassion piece. And self-compassion, as defined by Dr. Kristen Neff, who is the world's foremost researcher on self-compassion, self-compassion is composed of three elements. The first is mindfulness, which is very much related to self-awareness, but I see it as slightly different. The mindfulness is the ability to sort of step outside of the distress and be in present time. And again, it's that element of noticing. I'm not being very articulate, but so the first piece of self-compassion is that mindfulness. And again, it's that noticing that what you're feeling without judging, just noticing, so that you can have the feeling and you can notice that you're having the feeling at the same time, if that makes sense. The second piece of self-compassion is an understanding that whatever it is you are experiencing, whatever feeling or whatever, is part of the human experience, common humanity. You are human. If you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling mad at yourself, if you feel like you made a horrible mistake, whatever it is that you're feeling, believe me, you are not the first person on the planet. You are not the only person on the planet to experience that. And just knowing that you are not alone, it's not a pathology, you're human, it's just a huge relief. And then the third piece of self-compassion is self-kindness, treating yourself with loving care. This is so hard for so many of us. It was so hard for me. It's an ongoing practice for me. I get to practice self-compassion. We all get to practice self-compassion as we imperfectly practice self-compassion. Our self-compassion practice is an area that we can apply self-compassion because we're not going to do it perfectly. We are going to yell at ourselves and beat ourselves up and stuff. And this is where we get to say, oh, there I go. Yeah, I get to love myself up, not beat myself up. When those two pieces come together, the self-awareness and the self-compassion, it truly is the key to everything good. If you are not where you want to be yet, don't worry. You can get there too. It is focusing your intention on where you want to be, and then it's walking the talk or whatever, whatever the phrase is, setting that intention and engaging in the practice imperfectly, because it's going to be imperfect because you're human. So that is what I wanted to share with you today. I am still astonished at how much delight and fun I am having making art, more even than the art that I had a lot of delight and fun with over the past 5 years. I don't think I've ever giggled at art that I was making because it was so silly and delightful. All right. I hope this is helpful. Leave a message for me in the comments if you find these ramblings helpful. I'd really love to know. And check out the show notes where I have all of the resources that I mentioned. That's it. That's a wrap. If you're getting value out of this podcast, I would so, so appreciate it if you would share it with your friends and leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Let me read you a review that Trifecta J left. Trifecta J says, "Great insightful advice from someone who has been through the artistic struggles and battles. I have found a lot of parallels between her experiences and my own, and it has really helped me try to overcome those obstacles to being creative and productive." Thank you, Trifecta J. Thank you so much for leaving a review. I really, really appreciate it. You, wonderful, brilliant listener, can leave your own review over on iTunes, and I might just read it on a future episode. You never know. That's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and go get creating. Mwah! Live creative now. Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.